One God, One Message. Chapter 7, The Foundation. A wise man built his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus of Nazareth concluded with these words, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Matthew 7:24-27. What was the difference between the house that withstood the storm and the house that was destroyed? The foundation. The wise man built his house on solid rock. The foolish man built his house on shifting sand. In the scriptures of the prophets, God has laid a rock-solid foundation for the message. He wants everyone to understand and believe. That foundation is the Torah, also known as the Law of Moses, Pentateuch, or Torah. The Torah of Moses contains the first five books of Scripture. The opening book is called Genesis, meaning origin. Genesis is the book of beginnings, in which God makes known the origins of the earth, life, humans, marriage, families, societies, nations, and languages. Genesis provides the answers to life's greatest mysteries. What is God like? Where did man come from? Why are we here? What is the source of evil? Why do people suffer? How can a perfect God accept imperfect people? While the answers of these and other crucial questions are developed later in the scriptures, it is in Genesis that the Creator has laid the groundwork for his answers. The first book of the Bible is the foundation for everything that follows. The Bible contains hundreds of stories which took place over thousands of years. Together, these stories form one story, the best story ever told. It is in this story that God has embedded one main message, the best news ever announced. God's dramatic story includes many climaxes. As we make our way through the scriptures, one high peak will be encountered in the gospel records. Another stunning climax will burst upon us in the Bible's closing book, entitled The Revelation, which means the unveiling. Despite the fact that God has unveiled his plan for mankind, that plan remains a mystery to most people. The book of Genesis contains 50 of the Bible's 1,189 chapters. To read through the entire Bible nonstop would take about 3 days and three nights. In our upcoming journey, while we must pass by most of the stories contained in the scriptures, we plan to visit many classic key stories which reveal the big picture of God's fascinating plan for mankind. A significant part of our travel time will be spent in the first four chapters of the Bible, since these opening pages unlock the great truths found elsewhere in God's Word. The importance of the Bible's first few chapters cannot be overemphasized. When we tell or read a story to a child, where do we begin? Do we start in the middle of the story and then jump to the end, reading a line or two here or there? No, we start at the beginning. Yet, when it comes to the Scriptures, most readers only skip around. Could it be that God's story remains a mystery to them because they have neglected the first pages of God's book? Is it any wonder that most people concur with Ahmed, who wrote in his email, "The whole sinner's thing makes no sense to me." If we are unacquainted with the beginning of God's story, we will have a hard time appreciating the rest. However, once we understand the first few chapters, the rest will make amazing sense. Picture a single grain of wheat. It might not seem to be much, but concealed in that simple-looking seed are the complex codes and latent power required to produce a mature plant loaded with grain. The scripture describes the process. The earth yields crops, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Mark 4:28. God did not design grains, fruits, and vegetables to ripen immediately, nor did he design his story and message to be revealed all at once. Just as God chose to provide food for man's body by means of plants that grow progressively, so he has chosen to provide spiritual food for man's soul by means of truth revealed progressively. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28:10. The book of Genesis is like a fertile plot of land in which God has neatly planted his seeds of truth. From those truths, his message sprouts and matures in the remaining books of Scripture, offering life and refreshment to the world. Thanks to modern technology, things once shrouded in mystery can now be seen. For example, today we can view clear images of a developing human embryo. Phenomenal! Within 8 weeks, the fertilized egg in the mother's womb develops into a peanut-sized baby, complete with eyes, ears, nose, mouth, arms, hands, legs, and feet. It even has its own fingerprints. Though not fully formed, it contains all the parts. In like manner, today we know that every essential truth revealed by our Creator about Himself and His plan for mankind can be found in embryonic form in the book of Genesis. However, it is in the rest of the completed Scriptures that the mystery of God, Revelation 10:7, grows to maturity. To this day, God's personality and purposes remain a mystery to most, but unnecessarily so, since the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from all generations now has been revealed. Colossians 1:26. God invites us to understand His mystery, but we must want to understand it. The Bible is somewhat like a jigsaw puzzle. The way some pieces fit together is unmistakable, while others are not so obvious. Patience and perseverance are required. Also, it's only by taking time to reflect on the Word of God that our confusion will evaporate and God's harmonious design will emerge. Lately, I have had the privilege of corresponding with an aspiring journalist in Lebanon. Though we have not yet met, we have become friends. In his first email to me, he wrote, "I do not believe it is possible to reach a proof-positive conclusion regarding ultimate truth." I encouraged him to lay aside all preconceived ideas and read the Bible for himself, allowing it to speak for itself. This he has been doing, as evidenced by a later email. "I have read the New Testament in Arabic and intend to embark on the Old. Before, I only read bits and pieces. Now many questions I had asked, I find answered before me. What have I gained from this reading? A deeper respect for the Bible's message, viewing it more like a force to change the life of the individual, to effect a real change in him, her, rather than a body of rigid duties, without actually changing him or her. I have discovered that perhaps there is a way to be certain of what we have in our hands." Recently, he observed, "I have taken a step I should have taken a long time ago. I realize that it's not enough to say, I've read the Bible. It's a book that needs to be perpetually read. It's amazing how so many of my questions have disappeared into the shadow of that book." For this man, God's message is beginning to emerge. In our upcoming journey through the Scriptures, the gripping story and message of the one true God will become clear as we assemble the most important pieces of history's great puzzle. It is as we perpetually read the Scriptures for ourselves that we will discover where the other bits and pieces fit in. The tale is told of a soldier who loved a young lady. While his affection for her was deep, how she felt about him was unclear. In due time, the soldier was sent to a distant land. He faithfully wrote letters to the lady, although she never sent any to him. Finally, the day came for his return. Upon arrival, his first stop was to visit the one he so loved. He found her at home. While she acted pleased to see him, a dusty box in the corner of the room exposed her heart's true condition. It was full of unopened letters. His. The Scriptures are like a series of letters from God to you. In his writings, the Creator, owner of heaven and earth, is introducing himself to you, expressing his love, and telling you how you can live with him in the splendor and joy of his eternal home. Here is a part of a letter he sent to earth 2,700 years ago. "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55:1-3, and verse 9. Love your Creator. Have you opened His letters to you? Have you read them? Have you responded to him? Let the journey begin.